Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
Merry Christmas. Right? It's good to hear people say that as opposed to just happy holidays or nothing. But that's what we say in our country, right? Merry Christmas. Well, what's so merry about Christmas? Maybe some people this year are kind of wondering that. 2020 has been kind of a tough year. But really, from the very first Christmas, it is merry. There is something to celebrate. And perhaps even more this year, we need a good word of hope and of peace is what we're going to focus on today. So let me take you back to that first Christmas, to the little town of Bethlehem, where the shepherds first heard about Merry Christmas. Now, if you think about shepherds, they live rather ordinary, probably at sometimes even boring lives. We would call their job not just 24/7, kind of around the clock, but every day, right, 24, 365 days, their job is to look after sheep. And try and picture them around a fire that night, trying to keep warm in Bethlehem. Now, some folks say, well, and we won't get into all the particulars, but Jesus never could have been born December 25th because it would have been too cold. Well, one, what are the shepherds going to do with their sheep? Where do they go? There's no, well, we'll just go in the extra barns that people have made for us. Or we'll, you know. No, they're outside. Well, I looked this morning just for fun. What was the temperature in Bethlehem today? They're 9 hours ahead, so they've already pretty much had their day. It was 71 in Bethlehem today. Average temperature in Bethlehem in December is 47 to 55 degrees. So it was a warmer day for them. It's similar temperature and climate to Jacksonville, Florida. So could the shepherds have been outside? Certainly. And it was probably a night like a lot of nights that they had spent. But this night was special. And an angel from heaven shows up. Now, angels are messengers. In fact, in Greek, the word for messenger is angel, angelos. He brings a message. That's the number one job of an angel, is to communicate God's message. And we have a lot of Christmas carols about angels because in the Christmas story, there are a bunch of angels, right? Last week, we saw the angel Gabriel as he talked to Zechariah. An angel speaks to Joseph privately. An angel speaks to Mary privately. And now an angel is going to speak to the shepherds. And then we have our third Christmas carol from the New Testament, but this time it's not going to be sung by humans. It's going to be sung by a whole choir of angels. I'm going to stick with the Christmas carol theme here in the main points here, so if you indulge me. So what are the angels going to communicate? First, they're going to basically talk about joy to the world. Well, they're not going to sing that song. It hasn't been written yet. But let's look. They tell the shepherds, the angel tells the shepherds, don't be afraid. Now, you might think that the sight or sound of an angel would always make a person feel good. But that's, in fact, usually not what happens in Scripture. Oftentimes, the angel, when they're talking to somebody, has to say, don't be afraid. Right? Now, remember, they're out in the dark. If you've ever been camping late at night, there's no, right? The electricity hasn't been invented yet. There's no lights. There's nothing. Maybe it's just stars and the moon or whatever, but it's dark. And suddenly the sky is filled. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It's piercing, brilliant light kind of blinds them at first, and then kind of their eyes sort of adjust, and they go, and there they are. They're staring at an angel. I can imagine, right? The shepherds sort of look at each other. Are you seeing this? You know, well, of course they are. And the message is both visual and verbal. The angel shows up. He says, this is not dreadful news of punishment or judgment. So don't be afraid. Fear is probably the last thing they needed. It's the last thing I need. I don't like to be afraid. I mean, do you? It drains me. It shakes me. It either makes me want to run or fight. And I don't need that. There's been a lot of fear this year, hasn't there? And even maybe, I mean, 2020, we have just a few more weeks left of the year. Maybe some are fearful of what's going to happen in 2021. Well, the angel says, don't be afraid. Now, frankly, an angel, even a messenger from heaven, can't get rid of terror. He's just the messenger. It's the message that's important. It's the message that's going to help make the difference. So if it's not fear, then what should we do? Don't be afraid, okay, but what should we do? He says, believe the gospel. Literally, I bring you a gospel. The good news. Literally, the angel evangelizes the shepherds. Now we're going to see what that good news is. It's that the Savior's been born to you. Good news is we have a Savior, but that points us to the reality that we need a Savior, that we're sinners, that we can't save ourselves. I thought this was good news you're talking about. Yes, it is. But it's going to start with some bad news, in a sense, that you need a Savior. And we'll look at that. Believe the gospel. This is good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Right? And so we sing a song like, joy to the world. Don't be afraid, but believe the gospel. Okay, here's another one. Go tell it on the mountain. What do we tell? What is the angel announcing? Right, he says, I have some good news. Well, what is that good news? What are we supposed to believe and think about? Well, we can see that He's going to tell us. I'll tell you. In the city of David, right, Bethlehem, there's a Savior who's Christ the Lord. Now let's think about each of those. The Savior is born, right? That explains the whole purpose of Jesus' birth, right? And so he came to save us from sin. So if we miss that, we miss Jesus. He's the Savior. The whole reason for Jesus coming, right? We as humans, we need help. We're estranged from God. We're at odds with God. We need God to do something. Well, he has. He's the Savior. The angel told Joseph, "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." And that name Jesus means the Lord saves. So that's what you're supposed to call him. He's the Savior. He's also Christ, the Messiah. Now, I grew up going to church, and I always thought that Christ was Jesus' last name. Joseph and Mary Christ had little baby Jesus Christ. But Christ is more, not so much a name, it's more a title. Christ is the New Testament word. Messiah is the Old Testament word, and they both mean the same, anointed one, right? If we christen someone, we anoint them. So this Jesus who's been born to you, he's the Savior, but he's the promised one. He is God's man. He's the one we've been waiting for and looking for. He's Christ, the Messiah. And he's Lord. That was the Jewish word for God. He's the Lord Jesus. Jesus is God. Not just he came from God, but he's 100% God. Emmanuel, God with us. So this threefold title, Savior, Christ, and Lord, this describes this baby in the highest terms possible. So the angel, we're telling you this, and go tell it on the mountain, right, that Jesus Christ is born. Well, we're not reading the verses right after that, but that's exactly what happened. The shepherds hurry off, they find baby Jesus, and as they come back, they tell people about him. We've just met Jesus. So go tell it on the mountain. And then, hark the herald angels sing. They're going to sing about this baby. You know, the birth of a baby in any family is exciting news, right? And we, I don't know if we sing about it, but we certainly want to tell people about it, right? We call people on the phone. We send out baby announcements now with social media and whatnot. You don't even have to leave the hospital. We can get pictures, boom, right there. And we send them off. We say, we had a baby. Well, in Bible days, they didn't have that. But here's what they did. Jewish custom was for a family expecting a baby to hire live musicians to be ready and to announce the baby's birth in song, kind of a public way of saying we've had a baby. Now, Joseph can't do that. He could, but he's not even in his hometown back in Nazareth, right? They're in Bethlehem. They're away. He can't make these arrangements. But Jesus' true father did. He sends a whole choir of angels to sing about it. These other songs we've been kind of looking at have been sung by people. This one is by a choir of angels. What's it like to hear angels sing? I don't know. and no judgment on my part here, but it's probably better than we sang this morning. Right? These are angels. And not just like two or three. This is countless, myriad, a host, thousands upon thousands. It just fills the sky. If you think one angel is impressive, how about a whole choir full of them? Well, what do they sing about? What do they communicate and kind of rejoice about? Well, a couple things. Here's one truth they're going to help us realize, that Christmas comes from God. They're going to sing glory to God in the highest. Now, why shouldn't angels sing? Later, Jesus tells us that angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner who repents, who places their faith in Jesus. So why wouldn't they sing at the birth of Jesus, who came to live and die for not just one sinner who repents, but for millions of people who will and are repenting? So if God said to those shepherds, Merry Christmas, kind of shepherds are at the low end of the totem pole of the social order that day. But Christmas comes from God, and it's for everybody, right? Think of the Christmas story. Think of people who are involved in that. Religious people, like the priest, Zechariah, and his wife, Elizabeth. For educated people, like the Magi. For a common laborer, like Joseph. For a politician, like Herod. Now, Herod rejected Christ, Christmas. In fact, wanted to take Christ out of Christmas and tried to kill Jesus. But he heard about it. Christmas is to the young, Mary. It's for the old people, like Simeon, who we'll look at next week. And now it's for the common person, the shepherds. And so the angels sing glory to God. Why that? That Christmas is all about God. Now, sometimes people, even today, want to make Christmas about other things. And I get that. But if they take Christ out of Christmas, they miss it. No. God gets glory at Christmas, especially. Now, why? They don't expound upon all that, but we can think of that. This is God's plan, that a Savior has been born. He knew the problem. He has a solution for our sin. It's Jesus, the Savior. And God gets the glory for, he just didn't think about this like the day before. This has been going on for hundreds of years. God has given prophecies that this Messiah, well, you know, he had to be born of a virgin, and he had to be born in Bethlehem. And he had to be related to King David. And, you know, the prophecies go on and on and on. God's been planning and telling us about this for hundreds of years before Jesus came. And like Greg reminded us then, as Scripture says in Galatians, when the fullness of time had come, when everything was right, all the kind of earthly circumstances, so to speak, God sent his Son. Wow, God, all of that? And more, right? God gets glory for this. And it's not just about God, but the angels also sing about us. On earth, peace. A Savior has been born to you. Well, who's the you? Well, that night, at least, the you started with the shepherds. But it goes on, doesn't it? There were probably several babies born that night. So the angel makes it clear, verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Okay, that's pretty normal. And lying in a manger. Okay? Babies aren't born in barns. And then put in a feeding trough. That's what a manger is. So, I don't want you to miss it, God says. So I'll give you a sign so you can find this baby. I'll go back quick. They sing glory to God in the highest. We sing that song. In fact, we sing it in a different language. Gloria in excelsis Deo. That's not English. What is that? That's Latin. Glory, we know that. In excelsis, in the highest. Deo, to God. And we'll sing that here at the end. They're singing about God. They're singing about man and how it changes our lives. Some commentators even suggest that this angel choir may have sung it antiphonally. That is, like one group sings this and another group sings that. Right? What? Glory. Peace. Who? To God. To men. Where? In the highest. On earth. And this is only conjecture on my part. But I don't think they just sang it once and then left. That'd be pretty short. I think they sung it a bunch of times. Peace on earth. A couple years ago now, our local newspaper would have each week would have a pastor write a little column. And that particular year, it came around that I was scheduled to do it for Christmas time. And I wrote about this Christmas song, carol. Well, the other pastor, he went home for lunch, and he read the paper and came back. And he says, well, Greg, I see that, you know, you wrote in the paper today. I loved your peachy article. And I could tell by the way he said it, I'm like, oh boy, what do you mean? You know, because sometimes the paper didn't always get everything straight. So sure enough, in the paper it says, who could forget that first Christmas carol where the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men. I'm like, did I really write that, peace? Like, oh man. Several people from church enjoyed that. Thankfully, I did not. I did write peace. I don't know how they got it wrong, but it's not peach. It's peace, right? Amen, right? I mean, peaches, I like peaches, but if that was the best God could do, give peaches, you know, with that? No. And not just... He offers that to everybody, but notice that it's not those whom God is pleased or his favor rests on, his grace. It's not like, well, only those who deserve this salvation and this peace, that's who God, you know, it's kind of a competition, or it's sort of we're working our way to heaven. No, no, no. This is God's grace given at Christmas time. And the angels from heaven come to earth and sing about it. Hark the herald. Angels sing. I always thought that herald was the name of all the angels. It's herald, 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 a bunch of heralds, the angels. But... That's a different spelling, right? That's not a common name. A herald is a messenger, right? Is someone who announces news. Sometimes you even have a newspaper. The Daily Herald. You know, it's telling the news. So hark, the herald angels sing. And so they sing and then gone. They disappear. They're gone as quickly as they came. In the Bible, angels don't stick around very long. They're kind of in and out. They're the messengers, and the focus is not on them. The focus is on God, who sent them with a message. And obviously, the real center of attention was baby Jesus. Well, sure enough, the other verses, the shepherds hurried off. They left their sheep. They hurried off. They found baby Jesus. And they returned. Pretty much the same. Back to their same job. They were still shepherds. They were still poor. They were still kind of marginalized on the outside of society. Nothing had changed. But everything had changed. Their whole life had changed because they had met Jesus. Their fear was replaced with peace and joy and salvation. As we conclude today with our time of communion, that's what I want us to focus on today, is peace. How Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah prophesied that. What is it that we could do to make peace with God? What is it that I have to do? The reality is, as you know, is there's nothing. What? Be more spiritual? Be more religious? Give more money? Pray more? Do what? Be a better person? That's not going to make peace with God. We need something from God. We need His grace. We need a Savior. And He's given us that, hasn't He? Especially at Christmas. And so the Lord's Supper is an experience, in a sense, of the gospel. It's a table of grace and mercy and peace. And so before we participate, I'll just give you a quick moment in prayer here. I want you to talk to God about peace in your life. Peace with God, our salvation, and the peace of God, how we live our life each day. Not only our eternal destiny, but our daily life. So let me do that. Just pause and pray and thank God for Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus. For sending Him that first Christmas, and for sending us Him into our hearts as we trust Him for our salvation. And we have eternal peace. And we have daily peace because we trust You. And Lord, we confess sometimes that is a challenge. So help us. Help us live what we know to be true. To trust You no matter what the circumstances or what our feelings are. Thank You, Lord, that first Christmas, You didn't want us to miss it. And You don't want us to miss it even today. And so, Lord, we even pray for those who will miss Jesus. Christ may not even be part of their Christmas celebration at all. Or some who are so opposed that they try to take Christ out of Christmas. So Lord, thank You that this message of joy is to the whole world. Thank You that we're still here living on earth. We pray that You would help us live with peace. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And of course, those familiar words, Jesus, when he first instituted this, he says, well, this bread, take it, eat it. This is my body that's broken for you. Let's do that together. Jesus says, well, this cup, this is a cup in the new covenant, my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Again, that's something we couldn't do for ourselves. And so, Lord Jesus, we take this cup as we remember with joyful hearts. Let's do that together. Well, let's conclude with a song, Christmas Carol. Angels we have heard on high, and let's sing that same song, or at least the words the angels sang. Glory to God.